Amen. It was an incredible atmosphere, spiritually charged. Any of the other young people want to testify? Rebecca, did you want to testify? Go ahead. It can be as long or short as you want. It doesn't matter. Just tell us what, you know, what you feel to tell us. Praise the Lord. Let's give a clap of hand praise to God for Rebecca and what God did for her. Any other of you ladies want to testify? Go ahead. Praise God. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. So thankful for what God's doing in her life. Any other want to testify today? I got a teenager or a youth that would like to testify. No? That's all right. Well, praise the Lord. How about we all stand to our feet? Let's one more time put our hands together and thank the Lord for what he did this week, what he's doing this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you could remain standing, head in your Bibles to 2 Kings 22, the Sunday school can be dismissed. God bless you. Second Kings chapter 22, we're starting at verse 10. And I'm going to just warn you real quick. We're preaching part three. Part three of your response changes his. Unless the Lord does something, I don't expect him to. This will be our last time preaching on this topic. But I do feel the hand of God on it. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 10, and Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king. We're going to read a little bit here. But he showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Everybody say, he rent his clothes. Of course, that was a sign of humility, of repentance, submission. After hearing the words of the law, after taking out the measuring stick, comparing his life, comparing the works and acts of Judah with the word of God, he humbled himself. He said, it doesn't match up. And so he responded. Everybody say he responded. He rent his clothes, and we will see later on he did more than just that, but he rent his clothes. He responded. And the king, Josiah, commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Azahiah, a servant to the king's, saying, everybody say, thank God I don't have to say those words. Verse 13, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. Hey, he had the right response. He humbled himself and then he sought out a preacher. Is that all right today? Hallelujah. He humbled himself. Then he sought out a preacher. He says, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our father have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is written concerning us. How did he know that? He didn't need a preacher to come tell him that. Right? All he needed was the word of God. And he needed to compare it, measure it up to himself, and say, you know what? Something's wrong in my life. I'm not measuring up to the word of God. Hallelujah. He compared it to that day of age, his father's, the acts of Judah. He says, something's wrong. We need to get a man of God because something's not right. We're not measuring up. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Akbar and Shaphan and Isaiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. The Bible says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Amen. So Hilkiah, I'm sorry, not Hilkiah, Huldah, said unto the men, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. I love this. Look, you can walk into this place and you could be a king or you could be a servant. The man of God's going to talk to you the same way. Man or woman of God is going to talk to you the same way. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank, how little money. Doesn't matter your position of importance in the community. She didn't say, tell the king. She said, tell that man that sent you. This was purposeful. She was purposefully downgrading his position. She said, tell that man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will. Everybody say, I will. Bring evil upon this place. I will bring evil upon the inhabitants thereof. Even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, they're going to come to pass. Because they have forsaken me. They have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger. Therefore, the work of their hands has caused me to be angry with them. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled. Everybody say, my wrath shall be kindled. It's going to happen. My wrath shall be kindled against this place, and it shall not quench. But to, everybody say, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and because thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolate and a curse, because thou hast rent thy clothes, because thou hast wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers. Thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see the evil which I will bring upon this land. Oh, Jesus, but you, Josiah, would be spared, because you, Josiah, have prayed, have wept, have humbled yourself. You, Josiah, responded. And because you responded, I'm going to change my response toward you, Josiah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Can we just, hallelujah, be humble in the presence of God? That's right. Throw up your hands, Lord. We surrender to your spirit and your will. Lord, I know this is the third Sunday on this topic. I don't want to beat a dead horse. I believe there's more you want to say. Open up our heart. Oh, Lord, I feel it in the Holy Ghost, God. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I feel change. Oh, God, I feel change. I feel change coming. I feel change coming for their lives. I feel change coming for their homes. I feel change coming for their family. I feel change coming for the church. I feel change coming for the city of Stewart and Port St. Lucie and Hope Sound. Lord, you're doing it today in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Won't you clap your hands unto the Lord? Praise him for what he's about to do in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You can be seated. Look, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if this is all going to flow well, but I'm going to tell you just everything I feel God wants me to tell you and talk about today. 2 weeks ago, we first talked of the judgment spoken by Elijah to Ahab. Ahab was a wicked man, but because he responded with humility and repentance, God changed his judgment for Ahab. He forgave him, and he turned it around. Everybody say he turned it around. Last week, we talked about Isaiah's declaration to Hezekiah that he would not recover from his illness, but would surely die. Hezekiah was not like Ahab. Ahab was a desperately wicked man. Hezekiah was not. The Bible says that no man trusted in the Lord as Hezekiah did. No king trusted in the Lord as Hezekiah did. He pursued to do the will of God. He trusted in God above any other king before or after him. Isaiah's words to him that he would not recover from his sickness was not words of judgment. It was a prophecy meant to prepare Hezekiah, meant to emotionally, mentally prepare him that he might get his house in order. He might prepare the kingdom for the loss of his life. Can I tell you that had he done this, a lot was on the line here. Hezekiah, as far as we know, did not have children up to this point. He may have had children, but the one that would be king after him, he had not yet birthed or had born. So this moment shifted the timeline. It changed the history of Judah, all because Hezekiah turned his back to those in the room, faced the wall, and began to pray. Hallelujah. It was his prayer unto God, his humility, his weeping is especially credited, that he would weep and cry and pray that the Lord would turn it around. And I tell you, the Lord absolutely did. For before Isaiah could even walk out of the building, God would turn Isaiah around and Isaiah would come and deliver a new prophecy. He would deliver the opposite word of what he just delivered. You shall not die, but you will live another 15 years. You will be healed. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord is doing this for a reason. He's calling us to be humble. He's calling this church to humility. He's calling us to prayer. He's calling us to fasting. Hallelujah. He's calling us to prayer. He's calling us to fasting. Oh, praise God. I believe that there is an impact that this church is meant to have upon this city. I believe that there are families this church is meant to impact with the word of God, with their love, with their grace, with their mercy, with their power, with their authority. There is an impact this church is meant to have. And it would seem as though, hallelujah, the writing is on the wall and the devil's already won the victory. But as we heard today, God's given us the authority to push back the enemy. God's given us the authority to declare in Jesus' name, we will still have an impact. We will still see lives change. Our families will be saved. Our loved ones will come to repentance. We will see healing. We will see miracles. We will see signs and wonders. Come on now. I'm talking about we will see blessings. We will see provision. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And today the Lord's calling us again. Look, it doesn't intimidate me that we have such a small crowd today. In fact, it excites me. Because I've seen some of the greatest moves of God when there's a few people. Why? I don't know. It's like God gets a little bit more personal when it's just a few people. And if you're here today, I believe you're here for a reason. Your story may not be the same as Ahab. You may not have been the most wicked man to walk the earth. Your story may not be the same as Hezekiah. You may not have been credited as a man who trusted the Lord more than any other person, man or woman that trusted the Lord more than any other person. Your story may be very different, but the point is true. No matter who you are, what your background is, or what your situation is, your response changes God's. Yes, you can change God's mind. Yes, you can change God's mind. You can change God's judgment. You can change God's prophecy. You can declare in the name of Jesus, it will be changed. It will be moved. And I will see the victory in Jesus' name. Josiah is described. Oh, hallelujah. Before I get into this, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Won't you go ahead and pray your prayers? Go ahead. Go ahead. Speak it over your children. Go ahead. Speak it over those loved ones you got in your heart. Speak it over the situation you got on your mind right now. We declare provision in Jesus' name. We declare salvation. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Ramasura Dalaramosi. Hallelujah. Come on. If this is important to you, show them it's important to you. I'm not just talking about right now, but I'm talking about there's a reason why it was their crying, their weeping, their response. It's not about just responding. It's how you respond. Hallelujah. That makes all the difference in the world. It is the rending of the clothes. It is the humbling of the self. It is the weeping and crying over the situation that moves the heart of God, that changes his mind, and he says, how can I not come through for my friend, for my person that I love, that I died for? How can I not move upon them? Josiah is described as one of Judah's most important kings. His reign likely marked a turning point for Judah. Hallelujah. And this is what I felt. I've said it multiple times. I'm going to say it again. I feel like today marks a turning point for higher purpose, Pentecostal church. I feel like today marks a turning point for your family. Hallelujah. Today marks a turning point for our city. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? I just know it in the spirit. I just feel it in the spirit. I just have felt it in prayer. Hallelujah. That the impact of Josiah. Hallelujah. We'll have the same impact. This service today is a turning point. Hallelujah. And it's all right. Look, I knew this was going to be half a prayer meeting, half a sermon. So you just keep praying as God leads you. Leave one ear open as I continue to go through just a few of these points. But you pray as God leads you. This is the first example where God this whole thing didn't begin with a prophecy from the man of God. It began first from a desire of improvement from Josiah. He compared himself to the word of God. He compared his family to the word of God. He compared his household to the word of God. He compared his nation to the word of God. Somebody's got to get the word of God out and start being truthful with yourself and saying, there's some things that I don't compare with. There's some things, if I put it up to my family, that we can improve on. There's some things, if I put it up against our church, we can improve on. Up against my city, we can improve on. Somebody's got to get the heart of Josiah, where you say, if the Lord has it in his word, I am fearful if I don't measure up to the word of God. Oh, Hataranda Labosi. Oh, Chiataranda Labosuta. Hearing the word of the law, Josiah is distressed because he recognized how far away they've strayed from God's rules, how far away they are from what they're supposed to be. And look, I'm not here to condemn anybody. Hallelujah, I'm not here to do that at all. But to tell you, I know the Lord's been dealing with me. Anybody else the Lord's been dealing with? Over the last month, the Lord's been dealing with me. He's been bringing me back to a place of consecration in the presence of God. He's been bringing me back to prayer and fasting. Hallelujah, this isn't to gloat. This isn't to say anything. I've spent more time in prayer the last 2 weeks than I have in the last month. Hallelujah, because I feel the Lord. He's trying to bring us back to the first church. He's trying to bring us back to consecration. He wants us to lay the old man down, to put him away. Come on now, put away the TV set. Put away social media. Put away video games. Get this stuff out and get in your prayer room and begin to call on the name of Jesus again. When you start to work on yourself, you start to realize how far off we are. And Josiah sent advisors to the prophetess Huldah, asking for direction, and she confirmed Josiah's worst fears. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Can I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost? There's nothing that's going to stop the judgment of God on this nation and this world. There's nothing that's going to stop the coming judgment. Can I tell you what I felt, and can I tell you what I believe you felt? We're right there, brothers and sisters. We're not long. Hallelujah. It's not far until the Lord comes back. Hallelujah. The Lord casts judgment upon this world. I'm not wanting to be just a doomsday preacher, but oh, if somebody would feel a little bit of doom in their spirit, they might line themselves a little bit more with the Word of God. Listen, hell is very real. Hell is coming for all of us. And if we don't ship up, if we don't get right, hell's hot and you don't want to go there. I will bring evil upon this place. This is the time, hallelujah, more so than the others, where God didn't say, I'm going to change everything. He said, everything's going to stay exactly the same. Everything's going to stay exactly the same. But you know what? I am going to change. You know what? I am going to change. I'm going to change your fate. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I can't determine where everybody in this world goes, but I know I'm making it to heaven. I can't determine, hallelujah, where everybody else is going, but I made up my mind a long time ago. I'd rather humble myself. I'd rather pray and seek the face of God. I'd rather pray now, fast now, worship now, praise now, than the risk my eternity with the Lord. Hallelujah. I might not be able to change it for everybody, but I'm changing it for me. Please hear this. An empty response to the Word of God will condemn us to every proclaimed judgment in the Word of God. Oh, Jesus. An empty response to the Word of God will condemn us to every proclaimed judgment in the Word of God. But listen to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says this. We know it's coming. We know judgment's coming. Oh, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does that mean? It means that he's calling us today to repentance. He's calling us today. He's long suffered with us. He's put up with your junk. He's put up with your pride. He's put up with your lust. He's put up with your greed. He's put up with it because he's got grace and he's got mercy. He's long suffering because he doesn't want us to perish. What is the promise? What is the promise? The promise is heaven, and the curse is hell. He's not slack concerning his promises, but he's long-suffering to us, word. He's given us room to repent. Oh, why? Why didn't God already cast the judgment when it was the other king before Josiah, who was a horrible king and a wicked king? Why didn't he cast judgment on there? Why didn't he do it then? Oh, because there would be a king that would humble himself. The only reason we are not consumed is because the mercies of the Lord are renewed every morning. The mercies of the Lord are renewed every morning. An empty response to the word of God will condemn us to every proclaimed judgment in the word of God. But our response of prayer and humility and repentance to the word of God will dissolve us of every condemnation written within these pages. Come on, it just takes somebody to humble themselves. Pray and seek the face of God. Because thine heart was tender, because thou humbled thyself. Oh, that's all right. You keep praying. I'm asking some people right now, hallelujah, to find a place, position yourself, get yourself comfortable in a place of prayer, because we're going to be praying for a while today. Huh? Acts 2:40 says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You can't change everybody. You can't save everybody. I pray I can, but I can't save myself. I can't save myself. I can pray and seek the face of God for me. I can't save my family. I can pray for them, but I can't save them. But I can't save myself. Keep praying. Leave one ear open. I felt specifically I needed to talk about this. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was a Gentile. God had not poured out his spirit upon the Gentiles. God had not poured out his spirit upon the Gentiles. The Gentiles were still condemned to a life without Christ. As the Bible says, they were without God. Therefore, they were without hope. That was Cornelius's current spiritual position. He was a man without hope. But suddenly, an angel appeared in his room. Suddenly, God began to reach out to Cornelius. Why would God do that? Why would that angel appear before Cornelius? The Bible says, because I have seen thine alms giving, his financial giving to the Jews, and thine prayers, and they have come up to me as a memorial before me. This is what we call a prayer memorial. Every time you pray, you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling, coming and hitting you in the face, and it's doing nothing. Let me tell you, every word is heard by God. Every request is made noted in heaven. And he says, you are building a memorial before me. Oh, and his memorial was the reason why Cornelius was the one God chose to break through upon the Gentiles, because somebody prayed, because somebody wouldn't stop praying. Even when it was dry, they wouldn't stop praying. Even when they didn't have the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't stop praying. Therefore, the Lord used that vessel as the one he was going to pour out the Holy Ghost on, as the one that would see breakthrough in the Gentiles. He says, for thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Hallelujah. Not because you prayed once and then you stopped, but because you kept praying and you kept praying and you kept praying and you kept measuring yourself up against the word and you kept making changes. You kept making changes because of that. Your prayers and thine alms have made a memorial before me. But see, it didn't end there for Josiah. He heard, okay, God is not going to cast out me. God's not going to give judgment upon me. He says, but I can't stop my consecration from this point. I thank God he's turned it around, but there's some other things that need to be changed. There's other things that need to be done. So the Bible says that the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah. First they went into the house of the Lord, and they began to remove the idols in the house of God. They destroyed Asherah pole. They tore down the cultic quarters. They smashed the ungodly altars. But then they said, wait a minute, this isn't it. There are also other places, other high places, other altars out there. So they went after them. They demolished the altars. They defiled the local shrines. They smashed Topheth. They removed the sun chariot objects. They smashed foreign altars. They crushed the sacred pillars. Oh, but the Bible says that wasn't it. They also wanted to eliminate the false priests, the occult practices. It says that they disposed the pagan priests. They brought Levites to Jerusalem. They banished mediums and psychics. At one point, Josiah was in one area and he was tearing down an altar, but then he saw over in the corner a graveyard full of bones of men who were magicians, who were mediums. And he went over and he said, oh, there's something else that needs to be destroyed. And the Bible says he destroyed it. And he burned the bones. He destroyed, hallelujah, this area. Why would he do these things? He says, because I'm not just going to pray, I'm also going to purge. I'm not just going to pray, I'm also going to purge. I'm going to purge my heart. I'm going to purge my home. How about today, wherever you are? How about the rada da da basuna da da basuti? Ika rada da da basuna rada da basuna. If you're already down here praying, you say exactly where you're at. But if you are not yet, would you stand to your feet? Halabasuta randi. 2 Kings 23:25. Oh, Jesus. Second Kings 23:25 says, and like unto Josiah was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose any like him, notwithstanding. The Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, but he did save Josiah. I'm asking for somebody right now to come down to this altar, fall on your face and say, God, I'm here. I need to save myself. I don't know about anybody else. I don't know, Lord Jesus, if my family's going to make it. I don't know, Lord, I'm going to pray for them, but I don't know if they're going to make it. But Lord Jesus, I don't know if my friends are going to come. I don't know, but I'm going to turn myself around, God. I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe that my prayers are going to be a breakthrough for my life. My prayers are going to break through upon my family. It's going to break through upon my friends. That's right. Won't you find a place right now to start building a memorial? Come on, get your chisel out. Start building that memorial in the name of Jesus. I'm building a memorial. I'm humbling myself. Oh. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people, come on now, won't you do it right now? God, I can do nothing without you. Lord, we can't build this church without you. I can't save my kids without you. I can't even be